I'd just like to read from one chapter tonight, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In these Bibles, it is page 1385. Page 1385. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. But I make known to you, brethren, the glad tidings which I announced to you, which also ye received, in which also ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye hold fast the word which I announced to you as the glad tidings, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you in the first place what also I had received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day, according to the Scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the most remain until now. But some also have fallen asleep. And then later in the same chapter, page 1387, verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must needs put on incorruptibility, and this mortal put on immortality. But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the word written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, thy victory? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin the law. But thanks to God, who gives us the victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. I'd like to speak tonight, dear friends, about some great events. There are some events that we maybe remember in our lives as standing out, these being either really happy times when we've had a great time doing or going somewhere, or sad events when something tragic has happened or some sad thing has happened in our life that we don't forget, sadly. Tonight, I want to speak to you about some great events. And they're so great that I can only begin to explain how great they are, but how much they mean to us, how much they should mean to you. They mean everything to everyone who's truly a Christian. There are many events that happen in people's lives. Today some people are keen on big events like the football, other sporting events, many, many other big events that people get prepared for. They do their best to get ready for the event. Sometimes things go wrong and it doesn't turn out for the way that we expected. These events, this future event, is far greater than any of that, dear friends. But I want to talk about the events of the past, because it's the foundation of what our hope is, and the foundation of the message. When we study history at school, we look at events, don't we? We look at the big things that happened in history. I used to like history at school, not everybody does. The events that happened in the past are a clue to what the world is today. The understanding of the world today is understanding what happened in the past. So, the events that happened in the past, I want to highlight to you how vital they are, how important they are. So Paul, who writes this 1 Corinthians 15, is speaking about three events. Verse 3, Christ died for our sins. The greatest event in the history of the world, dear friends. Christ died for our sins. You might say the greatest event perhaps in the history of the world was the creation. God spoke the world into being. He commanded and the world came into being. But the cross of Jesus Christ, dear friends, is the centre of history. Sometimes you can get a map, a world chart or a timeline, and you can open it up, and right in the middle is the cross. The cross is the centre of world's history. But it's the foundation of our hope. We all look for some events in our lives, don't we? We all hope for something in the future. Sadly, some people have lost hope, haven't they? Especially during this terrible time that we're in. Some people lose hope. They lose hope of living. We were coming back from Scotland yesterday, and sometimes you see people standing on the top of a motorway bridge as you pass underneath it. And you think just for a moment, as a driver, are they okay and why are they standing there? And then you're going past and it's all over quite quickly, isn't it? Thankfully nothing happened. But sadly people lose hope in the future, don't they? They lose hope in living life. They lose hope. Dear friends, the reason that we're here tonight is for no one to be like that. For everyone to have hope for the future. But first of all, we have to realise that there is no hope outside of what God offers you, dear friends. There is no hope, there can be no hope from looking to governments, to health agencies or anybody else for solutions that the world's problems, for the world's problems. There can be no hope for looking anywhere else other than God for truth. We read this afternoon that if God is true, everyone is a liar. If God is true, every man is false. That means that the only truth is in God, is in God's word. So the great event that I mentioned here is Christ died for our sins. The Son of God, the perfect, holy, spotless Lamb of God. The man who lived a perfect, holy life, demonstrated God's power throughout his life by calming the storm, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing the mighty miracles that demonstrated who he was. What a marvellous, wonderful, perfect life lived down here, relieving human suffering, performing many, many miracles, which makes him different and unique, different from every other life lived here on earth. And yet he was crucified. He was condemned to death by Pilate. He was falsely accused and was nailed to the cross. That, dear friends, is the world's verdict on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the verdict on him. They said, away with this man, we will not have this man to reign over us. They rejected him, they cast him out, they crucified him, they gave him the death of the worst criminal of the day. He was crucified there, dear friends, in your place and in mine. It says, he died for our sins. Can you say, dear friends, tonight, that he died for my sins? I can say that for certain. He died for my sins. That's the first question tonight. Do we know for certain? Do you know for certain that he died for your sins? Was he there because of what you have done? The wickedness that you have done in your life? We've all done things wrong. We've all gone against God's law. We all deserve punishment. And that he was buried. The Prince of Life, the Giver of Life, the one who had raised the dead, the one who had stopped a funeral procession and told the person in the funeral cortege to sit up. The man who had told them to roll the stone away from the front of Lazarus's tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. What incredible events they were. But the Lord of Life, the Lord Jesus Christ was buried. He actually died and was buried in the grave. He by whom the worlds were made, he was equal with the Father. He was equal with God. He showed his divinity. He showed the magnificence of who he was as God, as the Son of God, by calming the storm and doing all those things that only the Creator could do. And yet he was buried. Last week we went to Scotland just for a few days for a break and some fresh air, and we went to one of these castles that you have. There's quite a few nice castles in Scotland. You might like to visit them, but we went to see one on one of the islands, and we were told many stories, a long story about all the people that had lived on this castle, that had built it in the first place, and it had a 300-year-old garden with beautiful trees. But you hear about all of the impressive things that these owners of these castles, the Marquis and the Earls, that had done in building this castle, first of all, and then updating it, and fabulous amount of marble and gold, and it was an amazing building, absolutely beautifully done. But one thing that struck me was that one of the owners, one of these earls, had ordered the building of a chapel next to the, attached to the house, and it was absolutely awe-inspiring to walk in and see all that marble and the gold and the stained glass and all those beautiful, beautiful things in the building. And yet, he ordered the building project, and he started the work, and within 4 years his life came to an end, and he didn't see it finished. How sad it is. And doesn't that remind us? I've been round a few of these places, they may not interest you very much, but it does remind you that no matter how wealthy someone is, no matter what they've achieved in their life, death catches up with every single one of them. At one point, this particular man, I think it was him in the family, he was the richest man in Britain. He made his money from coal mines in Wales. And he was by far the richest man in Britain. He could have anything he wanted. And he did. The house was designed by all the top experts from all the countries that he had been to. And yet his life was cut short. And our lives are all very short, no matter how long we live. The Lord Jesus Christ was buried. He was buried because he had borne our sins, and he died and went down into the depths of death, dear friends. But the third major event is that he was raised the third day. He was raised the third day, according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to Peter, Cephas. Then he appeared to the 12. And then he appeared to above 500 brethren at once. If you want confirmation of eyewitnesses, if you want confirmation of something that's happened, you have to speak to someone who's an eyewitness. And there's more than 500 eyewitnesses of Jesus being risen from the dead. How wonderful that is. Those are the three great events in the past. And because of that, we can now turn to the event in the future, dear friends. Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again as proof that he had finished the work that God gave him to do. And now the future event, dear friends, is described in verse 51 onwards. I'm not sure whether you've seen this passage before or whether you know about it. It says, I tell you a mystery. There are mysteries in the Bible that only God reveals. Only God can reveal to us. There is wisdom and knowledge from God that you cannot get from anywhere in this world. People turn to all sorts of people for so-called knowledge, don't they? They turn to so-called science. They turn to so-called scientists or politicians or leaders. There are mysteries in God's word which are there for those that want to know. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. The mystery is, we shall not all fall asleep. Now this is talking about believers. Christians, those who have put their faith and trust in what Jesus did on those three events, the death, burial and resurrection in the past, those who have put their trust in Jesus, those who have confessed their sins and repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and what he's done at Calvary's cross, are those that have the hope of this future event. It's not for everyone. The gospel goes out to everyone, but not everyone receives the forgiveness. But all those who receive full and free forgiveness by putting their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus will receive this blessing. We shall not all fall asleep. That means to die physically. We're very familiar with physical death, aren't we? It's all around us. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. This is an event that is soon coming, dear friends. There are many, many signs in the world today. Many things, the Bible tells us, are going to happen at the sign of the end of the age. The wickedness and corruption of the world, the wickedness and corruption of world governments, the one world government headed by the beast and the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, many, many things are in God's word which tell us that these things are shortly to take place. Even more signs than we would have thought of only 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, or even less than that. Many signs. But what's going to happen? There's going to be a trumpet. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, verse 52. The trumpet shall sound. There's another verse in the Bible that tells us about this as well. It's not the only verse that speaks about this. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The we is Christians. This corruptible must put on incorruptibility, this mortal put on immortality. Immortality means that you never die. We have a never dying soul. Every single human being has a soul in them which never dies. It's not your body. It's part of you. It's your personality. It's your inner being. It's your the part of you that never dies and goes on into eternity. The only person who can save your soul, dear friend, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In what he has done in going to Calvary's cross. We shall be raised incorruptible. And this mortal will put on immortality. Every true Christian, dear friends, is going to have a changed body. They're going to be changed to be immortal, to live with God in heaven forever. Can you say that, dear friends? If you put your trust and faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done at Calvary's cross, this will apply to you. You have that wonderful blessing before you. You have that wonderful transforming power that will take place for every true believer. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruptibility, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the word written, death has been swallowed up in victory. Dear friends, mercy's door is open to you tonight. If you haven't already come through mercy's door by putting your faith and trust in what Jesus has done at Calvary's cross, and no one is too wicked, no one is too young or old, no one is outside of the scope of God's blessing. The offer is open for everyone. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is going to happen then? Then shall come to pass the words written, end of verse 54, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, thy victory? God has planned for his people to live with him in a scene, in a perfect, spotless, holy scene where death does not exist anymore. God has planned for those that come to know Jesus as their Saviour and accept him as Lord and Saviour in a place where death is only history. How wonderful is that, dear friends? That, dear friends, is available to you tonight. There could be no greater event. There is no greater event that Christians, true Christians, are looking for. But it's open to everyone. It's open to everyone that recognises their need of a saviour. Recognises they're a sinner and that they need a saviour and that the Lord Jesus Christ alone, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses us from every sin. But thanks to God who gives us the victory by our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't always feel in the Christian life that our life is marked by victory. But the ultimate victory belongs to everyone who is a Christian. How wonderful to be able to share in that victory that the Lord Jesus has won over death. It says, thanks to God who gives us the victory, only by our Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, we are to be firm, immovable, abounding always in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. May everyone here be ready for when that event comes. We do not know when it is. We know that it's coming soon. We know that the gospel is getting more and more urgent, week by week. How wonderful it is that God has given us another week to come to him and to receive his free offer of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all have that hope burning in our hearts as we look forward to that time when, along with every other Christian, we will be joined together with the Lord, be with the Lord forever, for his name's sake.